And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Well, Dave, we are nearly at the end of the election season. We don't have an election day. We have the end of election day. So we have this week to go, next weekend, and another 2 days, and that's it. What do you think? I mean, everybody says it's tied. Everybody says they're confident. Everybody says they're not confident. What's your take?
I think at this point it's close. I would be very, very cautiously optimistic. The thing is, what I seem to feel that the undecideds, the ones that have been dilly-dallying all along, they're not going to break until the last minute. And generally, when they break all break the same way. If they break 50-50, we're no different than where we are now. But if they...
It's hard to believe there's anybody really undecided. I believe there's people who say they're undecided. And I believe there are people who don't care about politics and who won't vote. But I really don't think it's... The group that's beyond that group doesn't really exist.
Well, I think there's some people who think, you know, can I really... stand 4 more years of Trump, or, you know, am I willing to put up with 4 more years of Trump? And it may not be 4 more years of Trump if he's elected. It may be, you know, an ongoing type of thing. So,
I don't. Well, let me ask you another question.
I know that there's different strategies going on between the parties, and those are going to be interesting analytics on that stuff. The Democrats are relying very heavily on a ground game that they had invested in and they've spent a lot of money with, and the Trump campaign does not have. The Trump campaign is relying on messaging and trying to drive their base vote out. You know, if we were in a gambling situation, there'd be an over under, which is 74 million. Remember, between 2016 and 2020, despite all the nonsense of Donald Trump, the way he blew the COVID and all of that stuff, he picked up 11 million more votes. And a lot of the vote of the 81 million that cast their vote for Joe Biden was anti-Trump vote. There's more anti-Trump than pro-Biden vote, or a substantial anti-Trump vote rather than a pro-Biden vote. Joe Biden was never very popular. The Democrat, you know, when Harris became the nominee, there was this sort of sigh of relief and a momentum that that emerged almost instantaneously that had her really up until maybe a couple weeks ago, and then the momentum kind of stalled. But it really was the face of, I think, the Republican messaging that they've been relentless in negative messaging, having fear and this dystopian view and being divisive. I mean, that's been their whole campaign, in essence. And you know, they certainly have their base revved up. Question is, how much more of the base do they really have?
And the studies of people who didn't vote in 2016 but did vote in 2020, that group, the people who studied those voters concluded that 70% of them who voted for Biden were voting against Trump,
right?
Not for Biden. Your point is well taken. The occasional voters came out against Trump. If the same pattern holds, it doesn't look good for Trump.
No. And that's what the Democrats, I've been told, that that's who they're going after with their ground game. They're not going after the super voter. They think their super voters are going to come out. They're going after the occasional voter, the people that haven't voted in 2, 3, 4 elections. And that's a tough thing to do.
Well, who are the Republicans going after?
They're not going after the moderates, that's certain. And they're not going after the suburban moms of very much, although they have certain things. They're going after the people who are susceptible to, I hate to say it, hate, fear, all of those things. And, you know, it's been a proven tactic over the years for Republicans. If you remember that Margaret Chase Smith back in the 50s was complaining that the Republican Party, she was hoping that it didn't become a party of fear, ignorance, bigotry, and smear. And it certainly has under Trump. And then, you know, there's the other factors are what's happening in the individual states, because there's the undercard. There's the fight for the Senate, the fight for the House, and whether those people will get their voters out, and whether they'll be voting straight party or whether they're going to be ticket splitting.
The Maryland election is interesting. At the beginning of the election, it looked like Hogan couldn't be beat. He's an anti-Trump guy, an anti-Trump Republican, but he would have voted with the Republicans if he gets into the Senate, to organize the Senate. But it looks like the Democrat is comfortably ahead at this point, which is kind of a shock.
Yeah, it is. And the other shock, you know, there's always going to be a shock, particularly in the Senate races. And I think that the other shock could be in Nebraska, where the incumbent, Deb Fischer, is up against an independent, not a Democrat. Now, whether that fellow would caucus with the Democrats, he says he's not going to caucus with anybody. But if it's a 50-49 type of situation, you know, what's he going to do?
Yeah.
I would think for Nebraska, he's going to lean to caucus with Republicans to set up the Senate, you know, for them, so that they get the committee assignments and control the agenda there.
Yeah.
But that's one that we're going to have to watch. You know, we should be staying closer to home. Watch this Casey race. McCormick has put everything in it, and now he's sort of, actually, both candidates are running ads that say they, you know, they agreed with Donald Trump on certain things.
Do you think that's an effective approach for Casey? Casey must figure the Democrats are going to vote for him if he stood on his head.
Yeah.
As whatever he did, it wouldn't matter. They'll vote for him, right?
Right.
That's got to be his thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think he's right about that. And again, I think a lot of this comes down to the turnout in Philadelphia, the suburbs. And there's some interesting races around the Commonwealth. You know, we have one here with Matt Cartwright and Rob Bresnahan. They had a debate this week. And the Cartwright folks are fairly confident that what's going to happen.
Cartwright was one of the top on the Republican hit list, right? Wasn't he one of the ones who thought they could pick off?
Yeah, because it was a pro-Trump district.
Right. But I think the National Party probably gave Bresnahan money.
He's gotten a lot of money.
Yeah.
And this week he's come out with ads associating himself with Trump.
Mm-hmm.
He hadn't done that before. His ads have been kind of, you know, I don't want to say squishy, but they've just been pretty anodyne, saying nothing really about him. But he doesn't have a lot to talk about.
Right.
He has no political experience. He ran a business that was given to him and that he sold, and that's it. He doesn't have a family. He can't say my wife and kids. He doesn't even have his parents in the ad if they're still alive, which is interesting. So we have that.
What would Vance say about him? He hasn't got a stake in America.
That's right. And then my sources in Philly say that they think Cartwright's okay, but they're worried about Susan Wild down in the Lehigh Valley district, who's in a very tight race. She was in a tight race last time, and she was targeted.
Right.
On the other hand, the Democrats have a good shot at beating Scott Perry. They have a good candidate from down in the Lancaster area.
That would have a national impact.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was the former chairman of the Freedom Caucus.
Yes, he was.
Did you see that the current chairman of the Freedom Caucus said that the North Carolina Republicans should declare the election is over and appoint the electors for Trump because of the hurricane? He was serious. He wasn't kidding around.
They've got no respect for democracy. Yeah. They just think it's their entitlement.
That's protecting the vote.
Yeah. And it's really interesting in North Carolina because the area affected was a more Republican area, but there's been a large amount of people voting there. And it's been one of the targets of disinformation.
Right.
By the Republicans. They're shameless in the disinformation that they're spreading. About FEMA and about all sorts of things.
This is not news, is it?
No.
I thought you were breaking some news. I actually
They're shameless all over the place.
Exactly.
They're shameless all over the place. And even some of the stuff that they're trying to do. We have that report from, speaking of Lancaster, down there where the registration office at the last minute was flooded with applications, over 2,000, and it turns out a lot of them don't appear to be legit. And the question is why and who's running this, and also some of the counties around there were also inundated with these registration applications that aren't panning out.
So that's very interesting because they were caught. They didn't go through. We know about them because they were caught.
Right.
In other words, somebody may have attempted to rig the election with phony registrations.
Yeah.
And it got stopped.
Or they wanted to try to get these things through so that they could yell that the
that they got
the
them through. Right.
That's right.
But they weren't able to.
No. And now it's sort of like Project Veritas. You know, those guys.
Yeah,
they were too cute by half, and they wound up winding up. Who are the ones? Was it Wohl and somebody? Remember in Virginia? Was it Virginia that did some things that they were convicted of, or that they were fined for?
Well, Keefe is the guy who runs Project Veritas.
Yeah,
he was fined.
Runs that.
Yeah,
but there was these other two guys. I forget who they were.
There's some guy down in Florida, a Republican, who got convicted of doing exactly that thing.
Mm.
Phony registrations.
Yeah.
The only attempts that anybody knows about has been attempted by Republicans.
Yeah.
That's why they're able to attack.
Yeah.
Because they know how it's done, because they keep fucking up.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to watch the ads because when I was in Philadelphia, I saw a whole different set of ads. through ads involving Susan Wild, because the Philadelphia stations take care of the Lehigh Valley, whereas ours don't. And there were some different ones for KC or against KC, and not so much different Trump ads. And I was watching a football game this weekend from Florida, Florida State, Miami, and there was an anti-Rick Scott ad that had him pictured as a snake, a big python with Rick Scott's head on it, doing all these nasty things. I mean, I'll tell you, the media companies, the TV stations and what have you, are making a fortune. I thought that this was supposed to be the election where everything is on social media, which is very cheap to run. But no, the TV stations, they've squeezed out even the ads for the pharmacies. So
let me ask you this, getting back to the presidential election. The guy that you like to read and pay attention to is Frank Luntz.
Yeah.
And Frank Luntz was quoted last week as saying that when Harris changed her tactics and stopped talking about her program and started again attacking Trump, it changed the campaign to that, an anti-Trump campaign, which is what Biden had suggested the campaign should be. At that moment, Harris, who was riding a wave of momentum, the momentum stopped. And the more she talks anti-Trump, the more dead in the water the growth of her campaign has become, and it's dead now, the momentum. That's what he says.
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
Well, the theory is that people already know who Trump is.
Right.
So there was no need to go there. But they didn't know who Harris was, and they needed to learn more about her. Now, she didn't hold a lot of press conferences or a lot of media interviews at the beginning, but she didn't need the momentum. Now, it may have been that the momentum was going to stall anyway. It's very difficult to have it always be on the upside. And the question is, did it really stall?
That's the question. How do you know it stalled? What made it stall? What is the evidence of stalling? When a car stalls, you know it stops.
Yeah. She didn't go to 53 or 56%, but I don't know if she ever was going to go there to that high. So, but there's also the theory that negative advertising suppresses your opponent's vote, but it also suppresses yours.
I can believe that.
People don't like it. So that may have been what in fact occurred, except that the target that Donald Trump left is so tempting that how do you not go after some of the things that he's saying?
And how truth of the matter is, his movement poses a great danger to working people, to minority people, to women as a group. He is a danger. Fascism is no joke.
No, he's a danger to democracy itself.
Yeah.
And that's been coming out, and the people that have been saying it are his people.
That's right.
General Milley and General Kelly. They keep saying, Harris is accusing him of being a fascist. No, Harris is just repeating what Trump's own people are saying. Scaramucci's on this, the same thing. Bolton, all these folks.
When you've got Dick Cheney, campaigning against you from the left, that says something.
I think that's the biggest unknown, is how many Republicans who were, what can we say, normal Republicans, Reagan Republicans, Nixon Republicans, how many of them are A, not going to vote for Trump, and B, going to vote for Harris? We've seen...
They don't have to vote for Harris. They just have to not vote for Trump.
I understand that, but it would be, a full loaf is better than half a loaf.
That's true.
So, let me put it to you that way. But we just don't know what that grouping is. how much of, you know, a lot of them are the Nikki Haley voters. Now, of course, she's decided that she's going to cast his lot, her lot, with Donald Trump, because she figures that if he loses, it's no big deal. She'll get his people for her run in 2028. But you know, it does show that there, you know, something about character and something about ambition. That there are certain places that people, you know, are willing to go or aren't willing to go on things. We saw Chris Sununu this week, you know, try to justify, after the fascism reports came out, trying to justify voting for Donald Trump.
And how did he do that? What did he say?
Well, in essence, it was that the, you know, it's the same thing. The policies, Donald Trump's policies, are so superior, and Harris's are so bad, that that there is no choice, that they have to vote for Trump. That kind of thing.
Does he specify?
Well, they never pin them down. That's the thing. They know that the reporters are never that stick to it. You know, there's very few of them, because the reporters know if they get like that, that people don't come on. But that's what should be there, the follow-up. I mean, at least this week, Trump was on Joe Rogan's show for 3 hours, and he did some follow-ups.
And on the Rogan show, he said, Trump, that he could see abolishing the income tax because he would replace it with tariffs, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't anybody realize that the amount of money that the income tax raises for the government to spend is so vast that for tariffs to equal them, you would have to triple the price of every single commodity sold in America in order just to pay for the current money raised by the income tax?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, when he floats these ideas, and immediately you should have been asked, well, how much is raised by the income tax?
Yeah.
And how much is raised by the tariffs now? So so how much more are you going to have to do? And Trump wouldn't know anything. He'd change the subject.
Yeah.
It's bob and weave.
Yeah.
But his campaign, Trump's campaign, is trying to walk that stuff back.
He's not going to let him walk it back. He's going to keep saying it. He believes it. He's a dope. He doesn't understand arithmetic.
Right.
he's unbound by arithmetic.
2 and 2 is 5 because he says it is.
2 and 2 is 5 because he can promise 2 to you, 2 to me, and 2 to the next guy, and it's all the same 2, and he's spent 6. So why shouldn't 2 and 2 be 5?
He's saving a dollar.
He's saving a dollar, exactly.
Saving a dollar.
If you don't ever have to intend to pay your bills, you don't need to worry about arithmetic. You're always going to have a positive balance on your budget. But the life doesn't work that way. Only private business can work that way.
You know, it's interesting. You know, Elon Musk and some of the billionaires are out there. We've talked about them, the foreigners. By the way, apparently Musk, when he started his company, or when he started in business, may not have been all legally here on things that, you know, there's some reports. But you know, we talked last week about the foreigners, Rupert Murdoch and Musk.
Peter Thiel.
And there's a couple of others on here. Now, Mark Cuban is trying to, you know, combat this. He's out there talking to business leaders and saying, folks, he'd be a disaster for business. He'd increase the deficit tremendously. The tariffs. He said, for instance, you know, these deportations. He said, now they may not. You may have got somebody legally working in your restaurant, but his parents, or her parents, or her siblings, or her, you know, may not have been here legally. And you know, if they get deported, are they going to go with them? Just whatever. He said, you know, the chaos that this is going to sow. He said, you know, what do you think is going to happen to the price of agricultural products, which are harvested, you know, almost exclusively by immigrants in this day and age? Or look at the...
And not only immigrants, but undocumented immigrants.
Yeah, the meat industry that uses so many immigrants and things like that.
The construction industry, especially housing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all of that. Watch, see what happens to those industries.
You know, you had an example of that in your backyard with tomatoes. About 10 years ago or 11 years ago, the largest tomato producer on the East Coast, north of the Mason-Dixon line, is a company called Eckel Farm, which is in the Clark Summit area.
Yeah, Keith Eckel.
Yeah, Keith Eckel.
Who's big Republican donor, big Penn State. He's a Penn State trustee.
Yeah, he was the chairman of the Pennsylvania Farm Bureau for many, many years. Very prestigious guy. He ran practically every tomato that you bought between Washington, D.C. and Boston, he grew and harvested and shipped. That's how big he was. And his turnover was $2 million. His crop was $2 million a year. And ICE, the Immigration Service, one year came and said that they were going to check the immigration status of the pickers, every single one of whom was an immigrant, had no legal papers. He went out of business in tomatoes that season. Closed down. He was employing 175 workers. He switched to corn, a mechanized crop that doesn't need human labor, employs five people, gets about the same amount of money. End of tomato business, end of 170 jobs. Right here. We'd have to go very far to see how it works.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if the same situation existed, but I remember Pullman Farms went out of the tomato business.
And I'm sure it was the same situation.
Yeah. Now, with they blame that there's bad weather and they had bad crops for a couple of years and that it wasn't paying them. But I don't know. I don't know.
Right.
Can't say one way or the other. But
what you can say is that whatever Trump comes up with, it's a cockamamie scheme. Nobody's thought it through, and none of them will work. None of them will work. Except, you know, that if he promises to give the oil industry anything they want, or he promises to give the mining industry anything they want, or the real estate developers anything, that will work. He'll do that.
Oh, sure.
He'll do that because he's not paying for it. You're going to pay for it.
Right.
Anyway, let's see what happens in this next week. The final week of the election season.
We're getting down to the wire.
We're over the wire with our time for this week.
All right.
See you next week.
See you next week.
And everybody, vote early. And if you can, vote often. You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.